This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. During many of the years that Hungary was under communist rule, George Conrad's books were banned, but Hungarians still read his work in underground editions. Conrad is one of Hungary's leading novelists and intellectuals. Now that his books are back in bookstores and he's free to write what he wants, Conrad is defending the freedoms of other writers. He's the president of International PEN, the writers' organization which supports free speech around the world. Conrad's latest novel, A Feast in the Garden, has just been published in the States. The narrator of the book is a writer who tells about his childhood in Hungary as a Jewish boy during the Nazi occupation. His parents were arrested at the beginning of the occupation. The young boy managed to flee the village. This is also George Conrad's story. He told me about his parents' arrest and how he managed to escape his village at the age of 11.
They were arrested because the Gestapo arrested in the Jewish community of this so small town where there were the population was 12,000 and the Jews were maybe 1,000. And around 10 people were arrested, maybe because my father was more well-to-do. And he was accused that he's an English spy. Right? He was not. And then we children, my sister was 14, I was 11. We remained alone, and also two cousins of mine. And some relatives from Budapest invited us, but it was not so easy to travel that time for Jews. It was not at all easy, so it was forbidden. And then I tried to get a permission. I corrupted, actually, the authorities through a lawyer, and I gave all the money my father had for this permission to leave the village.
You bribed somebody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, all the authorities. Then we could leave the village one day before the deportation of these people first in a neighboring bigger town, in the ghetto of this town, and later on to Auschwitz. So in Budapest, I felt, and we felt, that it's easier to disappear, or to bring away the Budapest Jews will be maybe the last action of these authorities. And it came so out that Budapest Jews' deportation was hindered in the last moment, mainly, I guess, by a very strong message of President Roosevelt through many neutral channels, for example, Sweden, that if the Hungarian authorities hope some special ceasefire or peace negotiations with the alliance, then they should stop the deportations. And they stopped the deportation of the Budapest Jews, therefore the community, the Jewish community of Budapest, which was also in 50% killed, but the other 50% survived, and therefore still in Budapest is the third biggest Jewish community in Europe, around 100,000 people.
In your new novel, your narrator says, in the winter of 1944 to 45, I thought of death almost the way one thinks of firewood. There was nothing special about it. It was a thing beyond my control, and there was no point in fearing it. Does that describe your feelings about death?
Yes.
And did that change later? Like, after the war, did death become more
Yes, after the war, I didn't feel a mortal danger. I didn't forget, of course, completely the dangers, because, you know, in a country where the decisions were partly local and partly coming from outside, from Moscow, it was always the possibility open for a switch in the regime to a tougher line. And somehow people lived with the chance that maybe the next morning they will be brought away.
Did your parents survive the war?
Yes, it was a great chance, and they were very lucky. Not only lucky, my mother was very tough, because once they were in Vienna, they had to work there with the ruins to somehow to clean the streets, and then they were led westwards to Mauthausen. And, you know, Mauthausen was an annihilation camp. And they knew something about it, and they walked on the road, and they went through a forest, and then my mother somehow organized a group of people who ran into the wood and disappeared, so they could survive in this forest most dangerous days.
So you were reunited with your family after?
Yes, they were the only couple who came back, who survived this year. And we were the only family which could maintain his integrity. We were the only children who came back alive. And when in 45, in February, just some weeks after the liberation, yes, for me it was a liberation.
Let me quote your character again. He says, "My sister and I were the only two Jewish children in town. The 100 or so Jewish men who had lost their wives and children were nice to us, were glad we were alive, but I couldn't help feeling that our presence was a constant reminder to them of their misfortune." Did you feel that as a child?
Yes, sure, sure. If a man, strong adult man, look at you, cheer you, caress you, and then they start to cry, you can feel that they don't cry from the joy that they see you, but because they think on their own children who are killed.
In 1956, in Hungary, there was a popular uprising against the communist rule. There was a short period of liberalization, and then the Soviets cracked down, and the leadership was replaced. Your character says, "In 1944, a machine gun was pointed at me. In 1956, I slung one over my shoulder, preferring to be shot in an exchange of fire than by a firing squad." Did you carry a machine gun while participating in the 1956 uprising?
Yes, I got one. I was in the university, and it was organized a kind of national guard from the university student. I finished just the university, but somehow it was my home still. And then I had some minor activities with this machine gun. I was bodyguards of some professors who were active in the politics, and I accompanied them, and then I guarded different the part of the university where there were very different committees of the revolutionary intellectuals. So I was a small man in that, and we had also some on the street some task to keep the order. And I went also with this machine gun and to do my literary activities, because I was a collaborator of a literary review which was founded just 2 months before the revolution, and it was a kind of a very reformist, reform-minded review. And I made negotiations of the printing house director and with many people, and they were very very kind, very nice, and they promised everything, and I was very happy because we young writers wanted to take over this review. And later on I heard that they was even frightened because I had my machine gun and I hanged it on as like an umbrella.
So did you ever fire this machine gun?
No, I never shoot it with it. And I even never had the feeling that I have to shoot now this or this person. And I had also quite ugly experiences that, for instance, I go back, I go home with this machine gun, and there are in front of many houses ladies, maybe the wife of the landlord or such kind of ladies, who say, please come, and there is here a tenant on the third floor. Maybe you could kill him.
Great, yeah.
Yes, once I even saved a person who was accused that he's a member of the political police, and he should be killed. And there were some people who were lynched. And I went for him, and I let him out of this house because I said that it's quite dangerous for him. He was, by the way, a musician, and he was in the orchestra, of the copper orchestra of this political police.
Listen, I'm wondering, when people said, now that you have a machine gun, I have a tenant who, you know, maybe you could murder him, did they offer you money?
Oh, no. It was from, they expected it from enthusiasm.
Wow. So what would you say to them? I mean,
I said, I don't do that, and please don't ask people to do that, but I'm not sure that I was convincing enough.
It must have been difficult to continue your relationship with them after that.
Yes, and afterwards I had also a kind of temptation when the Russian made their intervention. It was the 4th of November, and many, many tanks came, and the whole town was full of tanks. And then I went to the university to defend it. And we were there. We had many guns, submachine guns. But they didn't attack the university. And then we had, of course, many discussions what to do. And I had the crazy idea that not to fight the Russians because they are too powerful. Maybe make attempts against the collaborator. And then I went out with a revolver and I looked around for these people. And I realized that I cannot shoot anybody of them. I went back, I told it, I gave back the weapon. And since that time, I believe that I cannot or don't want to shoot anybody.
So you learned going after somebody that you were really incapable,
yes,
of using the gun. My guest is George Conrad. He's a writer from Hungary, and he's the first president of PEN International, the writers' organization. He has a new novel called A Feast in the Garden. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Hungarian writer George Conrad is my guest. In 1974, you were arrested with a writer who you had co-authored a book with on the role of intellectuals in Eastern Europe, and the book was banned, and I think you were told to leave the country. You were told you could leave the country if you wanted to.
Sure.
But you decided to stay. Why did you want to stay?
I am maybe a little bit conservative. I don't want so much to change my body context. And I was even writing a novel, The Loser, and it seemed to me more evident to write also the next day a new page and not to give myself to an adventure of changing my whole life, friendships, language, job. And somehow I felt also that with the whole family, children, mother, to transplant them all for my intellectual freedom is not so easy. And then it was also a difference with my friend. I approved completely his emigration. a scholar cannot, and I had many other friends who have chosen the emigration, mostly academic people. They need the university context. They need also the possibilities of research, of meetings, international meetings. But what needs really a novelist, paper and pen?
Did you keep track of your friend after he emigrated? And I wonder if you ever envied him the decision.
We are still the best friends. Mm-hmm. And he's often in Hungary. He spends there some months. And we plan or we dream to write again a common book on the new situation of these countries and of intellectuals in the new society.
So did you ever have second thoughts about staying in Hungary?
No, my idea was that a writer or every people have to have the right to go and look around. But somehow I am maybe a little bit difficult person. I don't like to be very grateful because I can be there where I am. And in Hungary, yes, I was born there, so I don't own with any gratitude that I can live in my house. Abroad, I felt that I have to become also an academic person, but although I am interested reading books of human sciences, but I am not really an academic person.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you run into people who had been censors or police or bureaucrats who had harassed you for some reason under communist rule, if you run into them now.
There are some whom I meet.
And what's that experience like?
These are people who lost their internal force, or they are very uncertain. And I don't feel any vengeance.
Do you talk with them, or do you both
yes.
look in the opposite direction when you pass
no,
on the
no,
street?
No, I talk to them. Even I, it was a person who was the leading figure in the Politburo, who was somehow the dictator of the culture and who made many unpleasant actions against me. And when he was very sick from the cancer, I visited him in the last days of his life.
What made you do that? What prompted you to visit him?
I had a certain pity for him.
Pity because he was no longer in power, pity because he was so uncomprehending about what culture
was
really about.
He was not a stupid man, and he had his own morality, and he asked always, what did I wrong?
He didn't get it. He didn't understand.
He didn't understand. He understood many things. He didn't understand many other things. He justified himself. He tortured himself, I would say. And many people did that. There are many this type of people who are now in the mental asylums, who have nervous breakdowns, who lost the sense of their life, who call on phone the so-called telephone psychiatrists and tell that they have suicide ideas. And not only these type of people, also those who were not in high functions or who were not in the service of these police or political police, feel that somehow those values, what they had in a very status society, disappeared and they have to start something new, but they are too old to that.
Mm-hmm. You wrote a book back in 1974 on the role of the intellectual, and I wonder if you feel that your role as a writer and intellectual has changed in the past couple of years.
Sure, because I'm not a phantom, but I'm a public person. I can express myself, and there are some people who are interested, so the communication of myself with my readers is undisturbed. It gives also a kind of responsibility, because somehow I wanted this change. And when people are not so happy with this change, then it's not an easy feeling for me. And I feel also that I have some responsibility that things should go in the right direction, but there are many temptations, many internal conflicts. It's a very, very difficult learning process, and the price people have to pay for their real freedom with a kind of stability of their life will be very high.
One more question. You said that now that you're no longer a phantom, you can, you know, speak out and write anything.
What does it mean? That,
well, I'm wondering if you felt like a phantom beyond your writing. I mean, as a writer, you were a phantom.
Many people knew my name from the Radio Free Europe, you know. Mm-hmm. They knew some of my papers or text in Samizdat. Now, as I am sometimes on the screen, they recognize me and they talk to me, and I am a real person.
Right. Well, I thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
And my guest has been George Conrad. He's a Hungarian writer. His new novel, A Feast in the Garden, has just been published in the States by Harcourt Brace Jovanovich. And Conrad is also the president of PEN International, the writers' organization. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.